the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Happy Wednesday to you. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Johnny Hebert. I'm looking around the studio. It's kind of empty today. Gabby's on vacation, and Damien is off today, so it's kind of lonely out here. But I got Johnny Hebert up in Bush, Louisiana. Good morning, Johnny.
Hey, partner. Good to be with you this morning on this hot beginning of August, huh?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know if you got a chance to see this. On the way to work today, a lot of us missed the moon rise because it was around 9 and some of us are sleeping at that time of night. But the moon set this morning coming into work. And if you haven't seen it, maybe it's still up a little bit. I hope you get to see it. It is gorgeous. It's beautiful.
God sends us postcards all the time.
Yeah.
Live ones.
It's beautiful.
That's right. I want to say a quick happy birthday to my brother, Dr. Jimmy Hebert.
Hey,
and
Jimmy.
Also to my my grandson, Ethan Michael Wall. So happy birthday to all of you out there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I want to mention that the papal intentions for August have to do with our youth, and that his prayer is for World Youth Day, and it's happening right now
as
in Lisbon,
speak.
Portugal. Yep. Yeah, as mm-hmm. we speak. And so I thought that was interesting. Ahead of that, a young girl asked the Pope why he chose Mary as the role model for this event. And this is what the Pope said. He said, it's because when Mary was told she was going to be the mother of God, she didn't take a selfie. She immediately got up and and went in haste to serve her cousin Elizabeth,
wow,
filled with joy,
like
unquote. I just thought that was pretty good. So anyway, with that in mind, let's get our day started in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, as we begin a new day, we pray for our youth that the seed of faith given to them will become the source of their joy and strength. May their hearts and ours be ever new, filled with hope and expectation, and in so doing, build your kingdom here on earth. Just as St. Eusebius defended your divinity, we ask for the courage to never waver from proclaiming the truth that is found only in you. We pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. St. Eusebius of Vercelli,
pray for us. All right, we're going to be hearing from Johnny. Well, we're going to be hearing from him all morning long, but in a little while, he's going to be doing a gospel reflection, so I always look forward to that. We're going to be joined by Peter Finity. It's an Irish thing, I guess. I don't know. Finney.
He's
Finney,
out there.
Peter Finney, editor-in-chief with the Clarion Herald. That's the Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese, and it's always a treat to visit with him. Lots going on there. Dina Dow, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, is going to be joining Johnny. We're going to be talking about the annual convocation celebrating Catholics. And then, in a little while later, we're going to be talking to Father Michael Champagne, a priest of the Community of Jesus Crucified. We're going to be talking about the Fête du Teche, that Eucharistic Bayou procession they do in boats, only in South Louisiana, huh, Johnny?
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to your Irish slant on Cajun, you know, accent. That's always
interesting. No, it doesn't work.
There, so
it doesn't work. No. It's a collision of vowels and everything, and, you know, yeah.
So, it's Americanized.
But no, really, this Fête du Teche is a beautiful thing, and we're going to get some details about that. I want to know where to go stand on the bayou to see this thing go by, or where the masses are going to be, so it should be a lot of fun.
It's always a celebration being a Catholic in South Louisiana, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's a blast.
All right, well, the gospel is next when we come back. It's 5 after the hour on Wake Up.
A Good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds the pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker. Well, Dave, you know, it was St. Irenaeus who said that the greatest treasure, the finest pearl, is Jesus Christ himself. Mm-hmm. And he pointed out how Jesus as the Messiah was hidden in the Old Testament, and then with his death and his resurrection, and with his death, he was buried like that treasure, mm-hmm. or like the pearl, and how his resurrection and his ascension into heaven opened up, you know, the great mysteries of God. And he's making the point, there's nothing more important, more valuable in this life than this, and is to know and to live in Christ. Nothing worth holding on to more than the robe of the Lord. And if anything we have or we're attached to is holding us down, holding us back. We've settled for dust. We've settled for crumbs. And I think I was mentioning last week, if you have any doubts of that, you speak to anyone who's had a close brush with death and encountered God, will tell you the same thing, right? That you put your priorities in order. You know, and so I was thinking about this, and summer's coming to an end, vacations. In fact, we're leaving after the show to go out of town. But, you know, several weeks ago, Jan and I took a vacation up to Pennsylvania. And while we're out there, we came across this tomb of a certain Demetrius Gallatin. Had never heard of the person
Demetrius,
before,
help me out. What is it?
Gallatin.
Okay.
Gallatin. Okay. Right. So we're talking about kingdoms in the gospel this morning. And this man actually came from an earthly kingdom in the late 1700s. He was born a Russian prince, raised in luxury, high class nobility. All his relatives were nobles and kings elsewhere, highest education. And being from Russia, he was automatically part of the Russian Orthodox Church. Mm-hmm. But after his mother converted to Catholicism, he became convinced as well that the Catholic Church was the true church, and he converted at the age of 17. Now, this made his father very upset. The king and he said, "I got to send this kid away." He wanted to send him to the military to kind of drill some sense into him. But they kind of mother convinced him, "No, don't do that." And the father actually sent him over to get a foreign education, kind of get out and get it away, and send him to America, of all places, in the 1700s.
Okay.
And after he got to America in 1792, he fell in love with this country, but even more so, he fell in love with his Catholic faith in a much deeper way, ends up joining the seminary, becoming a Catholic priest, and he lived his life serving the people of Pennsylvania, Maryland area, became known as the Missionary of the Alleghenies.
Wow.
Now, when he arrived there, there were only 12 Catholics in the whole area. By the time he passed away 40 years later, there were over 10,000 Catholics. So he was a real defender of the Catholic faith, just like our saint of the day, Saint Eusebius, was. And so here's the thing with the gospel, you know, after finding this pearl of great wisdom, this treasure, the Catholic faith, he ended up giving up everything. His crown, the lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Essentially, he gave up his earthly kingdom and traded it for the kingdom of God. So now if you go there, and as we were walking there, this tomb, you can actually walk down into the tomb where the casket is. There's a gorgeous basilica called St. Michael the Archangel, which was his patron. As a monastery and a convent all around that.
Wow.
And now
where
he bears
is this, Johnny?
The title.
Where is it?
Loreto, Pennsylvania,
okay.
Named after the Italian site.
All right.
And he's a servant of God in the kingdom of heaven.
Gosh.
So I thought that was just a beautiful example of that. And this is just one of many thousands of examples of people who've lived out the gospel, finding this great treasure. And seeming to give it all up, knowing the one thing that's most important, and knowing everything else pales in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Dave, you know, we don't have to go to those kinds of extremes, do we? I mean, example-wise, necessarily, to really ask even ourselves whether our faith really is the greatest treasure.
Right.
Our Lord's parable today, you know, says we can just look at ourselves. I mean, what's our priorities?
Yes.
You know, where do we spend our time? Where do we spend our money? You know?
Right, right. Well, you know, I was thinking that the other day, Johnny. We're talking about the extremes that St. Francis took and everything. But, I mean, really for us these days, it's just a matter of changing our focus during the day on a daily basis, right? I mean, to say, what am I attached to and what can I just throw away?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think even just looking at our, you know, are we joyful in the sense of do we really, really have that sense of joy that you hear people talk about, you know, the saints talk about? Because, and then you just have to say why. You know, what are we, because really when you bear it down to, what are we holding on to? Maybe it's grudges, maybe it's whatever it could be.
Yeah.
It keeps us from being free, that total liberty. What attachments are they, though, that can we have? What can rival a true relationship with our Lord that gives us that kind of joy?
Yeah, yeah, stuff that you can just discard. Feelings, emotions, things that we own, stuff like that. Can you imagine if we can just forget about that and focus on Christ, the peace that we would have during the day, right?
Yeah, you know, and I was thinking about, you know, a lot of us, I think, and I'm including this, you look at what's going on in our country and our world, and you can get real down. Now, here's Demetrius. Yeah. He comes over here and to America. Of course, it's a different time and a different place, but it really does get down to the question, how do you see the world? Because if the Eucharist is the source and summit of our lives, then the way we see everything should be different.
Right.
And I don't know if you remember this, Dave, in the Sunday newspapers, they used to have this puzzle page, and in it there was always one of these pictures or drawings, and under the picture would say, find the hidden girl or the hidden boy in this picture. You remember those?
Oh, Highlights Magazine. Yeah, yeah, and you'd find the frog.
Just like,
and that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and you would, and so you'd get it, and you'd look, and you wouldn't be able to see it.
Yeah.
You know, then all of a sudden you'd see like an ear or an eye or a nose.
Start coming out.
You see the whole person.
Yeah, I love those.
And then after that, every time you looked at the picture, you know, that's all you could see was the face.
Good point.
Was the girl? Was the boy? You know, that type of a thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, it's a lot like that as we're speaking about joy and how we see the world, that pearl of great price, and everything else matters. God's like that hidden person. Once you see him, once you take off those fashionable sunglasses and all that, nothing looks the same. Nothing is worth more than him in this life. As the famous movie line says, get busy living or get busy dying.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, let's catch up with Peter Finney. He's up next to find out what's happening with the Clarion Herald. It is quarter past the hour on Wake Up. You've tuned your heart to the truth.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 2nd. Today we celebrate Saint Eusebius of Vercelli. Eusebius is one of those saints who defended the church during the 3rd century, one of its most difficult periods. The challenge facing the church then was the heresy of Arianism, which denied the divinity of Christ. Born around 283 on the island of Sardinia, Eusebius became a member of the Roman clergy and a bishop. He encouraged his diocesan clergy to live in community and did so himself. Pope Liberius delegated Eusebius to help settle the growing split between loyal Catholics and the Arians. Eusebius reluctantly attended the council in Milan, sensing that the Arian bloc would have its way. Although the Catholics were more numerous, the Arians were more powerful, and Eusebius and other bishops loyal to Rome were banished. Eusebius was sent to Palestine. The Arians dragged him through the streets and shut him up in a little room. He was later exiled in Asia Minor and Egypt until the new emperor permitted exiled bishops to return to their sees. Eusebius returned to Vercelli, where he continued his efforts to help heal the Arian conflict. He died there peacefully in 371. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Eighteen past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Johnny Hebert, and right now we're going to be talking to Peter Finney. He's the editor-in-chief of the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Fine. School starting, amongst other many, many things that are going on around the Archdiocese. That's probably not even what you want to start with. It's just kind of in our face over here in Baton Rouge. So what's going on over there?
Yeah, I tell you what, just to mention that, it's amazing. I think when I was back in the old days, when I was an elementary school kid, I don't think we started school until September.
Yes.
And,
yes.
So
yes. That's not the old days, Peter.
These kids these days.
Yeah. It's not the old days.
Boy. But no, we've had, it's been a good issue. This issue of the Clarion Herald really kind of, we focus a lot on what has happened just recently in Washington, D.C. The National Black Catholic Congress gathered 3,000 black Catholics from across the country, including a very, very large contingent from the Archdiocese of New Orleans, attended. And it was a really spirit-filled 3 days. Archbishop Amon said it was just a joy to be with people that he knows and just kind of experience, all the spirit-filled liturgies that was celebrated. The largest church in Catholic church in North America is the Basilica in Washington, D.C., and the 3,000 attendees really filled that church. So
wow.
It was an incredible experience.
Wow.
And they talked a lot about setting a vision using the words of the prophet Habakkuk, set the vision and make it clear and bring that back to your parishes and your ministries. And that's what they hope to do.
I've been to that church. I can't imagine it being full. I mean, that basilica.
Yeah,
up there.
Oh, I know.
Golly, that is a huge place, and it being full, I imagine that just sounded incredible with the singing and such, you know. Talk about the you got a retreat. Well, you got a bunch of retreats coming up at the Cynical on the Lake Retreat House in Metairie. The Women of Manresa, actually, one of our own here, Karen, is going to be taking one next week, and we told her she was lucky to get on one. Talk about the Women of Manresa.
David, it's amazing. Of course, any man who's been to Manresa, Manresa is mostly for men in Conda, Louisiana.
Yeah.
What an incredible experience that is, the silent retreat, and really based on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius.
Right.
And the thought was, why can't we do that for women, in the Archdiocese?
Yeah.
So Aileen Harbison, who's the director of the Cenacle on the Lake, talked to several Jesuits and said, why can't we maybe bring some Jesuits in to run some Women of Manresa retreats for women? So silent retreats, and it was incredible. It was like wildfire. They set a couple of retreats, instantly booked. They now have, I think, probably a half a dozen retreats through the end of next year, 2024,
wow,
that are almost fully booked.
Man.
So,
yeah.
Don't get discouraged. You can call the Cenacle on the Lake and just see if there is a spot. But it is a wonderful, the Cenacle is just a beautiful place right on Lake Pontchartrain, and a beautiful ground that you can walk on. And so women will get this kind of the same experience that men have had for so many decades at Manresa. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity for women to enjoy and to really learn more about the spiritual exercises. And that silence, as Father Brown, who's the president of Jesuit High School, silence speaks very loudly to your heart.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, and if it models, and if it's the same model as the men's retreat, it's no wonder it's going to be booked a solid, for a long time. Johnny and I, Johnny goes on one regularly. I've been on one. I'm ready to go on another because some silence would just be beautiful. But I know what you're talking about. Very, very popular.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Talk about your back to school section.
Oh man, we back to school is so big. We have not one but two back to school sessions.
Two back to school.
and we just finished the last one, and this one, we kind of focus on a lot of different things. Artificial intelligence is coming. Everybody's seen artificial intelligence where you can push the button, give me an essay on Shakespeare, in 3 seconds, it spits out a 750-word essay on Shakespeare.
Right.
And so obviously teachers and administrators are concerned, where is this going to lead? I mean, is it going to kind of tempt students to say, okay, rather than maybe do it myself, let me just press a button and spit it out? And so they're really not just Catholic schools, schools all around the country, elementary, high school, secondary, universities are wondering, what is the effect of artificial intelligence going to be on learning And especially, how do you determine the true ownership of the work? You
right,
know? So,
right.
But the thing is, you can't you know, stick your head in the sand. And a lot of the Catholic school principals are saying they are looking at this and trying to tell students, from an ethical point of view, let's try to use this as an aid, but then, you know, your work is your own work, and,
yeah.
and you have to be able to think on your own. And so it's something that all administrators and educators are going to be wondering about as we go, you know, every day something else happens. So it's going to be a very interesting to see what kind of effect AI yeah. has on the learning process.
Peter, we were talking to an educator. That was a couple of weeks ago, talking about now, and this is so strange how things are changing, and I don't want to say regressing, but he's having them handwrite all of their essays. That's what he's going to do, have him handwrite all their essays, which is like...
David, that's interesting, because Mark Milano from Rumble High School said the exact same thing. He said, I think we're probably going to do a lot more in-class writing,
yeah.
where you can see the drafts of a project as they go on. So rather, it's not just... Let's hand in the paper. No, you do it in class, and you kind of go along the process. So there's a lot of things they're thinking about, and obviously they've got to think about it.
Wow. So they're going to have notebooks, pens. You know, we're going to have to go back to the dark ages again, aren't we?
Yeah,
isn't that wild?
Advancing to the way it used to be.
Yeah. And now talk about St. Catherine of Siena School is welcoming nuns back.
This will happen not this year, but
okay.
next year. The Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia, they are based in Nashville.
Oh, the Nashville Dominicans, yes.
That's right.
I love that.
And they made a commitment to St. Catherine of Siena to send, we don't know how many they're going to send, but it's probably going to be 3 or 4,
wow.
I would imagine, somewhere in that name, to join the faculty, which is already a great faculty.
Mm-hmm.
And so beginning in 2024-25, next August, there'll be nuns back at St. Catherine of Siena School. You know, the Incarnate Word Sisters had been at St. Catherine forever until they had to leave fairly
uh-huh.
recently. But the nuns are excited. They've taken several site visits. They've met the students. They've met parents and faculty, and they're really excited about coming to Metairie.
What an order! That order, those ladies are on fire. You know, that is just going to be that's going to be amazing. So.
And they say, really, yeah. to see the nuns in the classroom, you know, in their habits, and just like they,
yeah.
a lot of little yes. kids just don't, they have not really seen sisters, you know,
they have not seen sisters in their habits. That's
sisters.
Right.
And so they're going to rub next to them, and it's going to be an incredible experience for them, for the
wow.
whole school.
Wow. And I know that these nuns are passionate about their faith too, but they're fun. I mean, they're just, I think the kids are going to
yes.
get a lot out of this. All right. Annunciation School in Bogalusa.
I may have lost you. I'm having trouble hearing you. Sorry.
You got me there. Can you hear me now, Peter?
Great.
Talk about Annunciation School in Bogalusa now.
You know, it's probably one of the smallest schools in the Archdiocese. Of course, it's way up north of the Archdiocese. The Catholic population is small, but it's very vibrant. And what they're doing is, it's almost like a micro school where the students will kind of gather in the morning for kind of like a general assembly and do kind of work together,
mm-hmm.
but then break off into smaller groups, age-appropriate groups. And it's kind of built on the model Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Belchase uses the same kind of model. And they're very excited because it gives a lot of personal attention to the children. And it will help keep that school, you know, open and thriving and vibrant. So the faculty has spent the entire summer preparing for this new kind of change in education. And they're really hopeful it's going to be a really big success.
Do you know how many people are enrolled in that school? Because you're saying it's pretty small.
I do not know off the top of my head. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. It's just a tiny school from what I hear. So that's awesome.
Yes,
that's awesome.
It is.
There. Okay, now we had talked to some gentlemen last week, and I think this is what you're talking about too. Catholic-inspired architectural, Catholic-inspired architectural firm is out there now.
That's right, and it's a group called Sainte Chapelle, and
mm-hmm.
They are it's the only nonprofit architectural firm in the state of Louisiana, and really their focus is going to be on helping Catholic churches, parishes, and schools, if they're thinking about even just doing some remodeling or upgrading of their sacred spaces, you know, what can you do as an architect to help promote the love, the reflection, that we have for God, and that they put not only their architectural background in there, but also their Catholic faith, and so they've got both, both aspects, and they've joined with the St. Louis the Ninth Art Society to kind of partner for this. So it's a really great venture. They've got some work underway. They're doing it right now with over 5 or 6 schools and churches.
How unique! How beautiful! Peter, the music's playing. Man, I hate to let you go. There's a lot more to go. Where do they pick up an issue?
At church this weekend in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and also electronically. It's online right now at clarionherald.org.
All right. Thank you, Peter Finney. When we come back, Johnny Hebert is going to be talking to Dina Dow. It's 1:30 on Wake Up.
And it's 1:35. Good that you've joined us this morning. Tell your friends and family, spread the word. Also, stay hydrated today and stay in the shade as much as you can. You know, we are remembering our youth today as they're gathering over in Lisbon for World Youth Day. So we've been talking about the youth actually all morning, and great topic. So to join us to kind of carry on that conversation, we're joined with Dina Dow, the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis of Baton Rouge, talking about evangelization in Catholic schools as this new year begins. And also we're going to talk about a convocation coming up. Good morning, Dina.
Hey, good morning, Johnny. Good morning, David.
Hey,
great
Dina.
Great to be with you guys this morning.
Happy to be with you too, Johnny. If I can interrupt just for a second, we've been kind of praying for rain for weeks now, and we finally got rain. And Dina got so much rain that it pretty much destroyed her house. Dina, how's it going?
Oh my gosh. Well, thank God for my parents, because we're hunkered down in my parents' house.
Oh man.
Our home is okay, but we just had some trees damaged, and a tree, one of our neighbor's trees, fell down on the power line behind us. So we are praying for our Entergy group crew to get back there and clean that out today so that we can be restored for power and internet. I was telling my secretary, gosh, how blessed we are to have electricity and, in normal days. But it was, and I was at home. So anybody that was at home that experienced that downburst was slightly terrified. But, the Lord pulled us through the storm.
That's right. And he said, hey, this is what you prayed for. So there you go.
Exactly.
We just have to be very, we got to be very precise with our prayer. Lord, send us rain, but just a little.
Hey, come on, light up. Yeah.
Just a tiny. But, these are moments of evangelization. Not kidding. I mean, we've really been able to reconnect again with our neighbors really just kind of show our care and support for the service workers that are out there.
Yeah.
So, it's, you always find the gold and the joy, especially in evangelization, when you're praying with people and giving them hope and courage. And that's what it's all about.
You're right.
And, speaking of World Youth Day, is happening right now in Lisbon. Live coverage is coming in from EWTN. Actually, my nephew that lives in Dallas, he works for the Diocese of Dallas. He's there right now. I think they visited Fatima yesterday and on their way to Lisbon. That is an exciting event. If you really want to see the youth on fire collectively, turn to EWTN and catch all the video coverage that they're offering throughout the day. It's just exciting.
Wow.
That does. That gives you hope. Yeah. So I know you want to talk about evangelization in Catholic schools. So I got a question for you. I think I know the answer. But so our schools, are we there to evangelize our Catholic students? Are we teaching them to evangelize once they leave school, or Dina, what's the goal there?
That's a both and. So we're there to help form missionary disciples, right? And anything and everything that we do. And Catholic schools are so beautiful and opportunities of places of encounter of our Lord Jesus. So of course we send our children to school to learn, right? To learn, to grow in academics, but more specifically in Catholic schools, the faith resonates throughout all of the subjects. So whenever we're learning science or social studies or even math, you know, especially through art and music, there are plenty of places that the kids can encounter our Lord Jesus. And not also to the children, but also the teachers and the faculty of the administration. So it becomes this beautiful ministry of evangelization where they're learned initially, I don't know if you remember in preschool or grade school or kindergarten, the first thing we learn is Jesus loves you, right? That's just the basic part of the kerygma is Jesus loves you. Mm-hmm. And then later when we grow and we learn and understand his passion, his death and resurrection and how that brings us into the joy of the resurrection and eternal life, and then we spread that missionary activity. So yeah, our mission in Catholic schools is to not only form the children in their wisdom and their knowledge of subjects, you know, that will collectively help them become really good citizens and pilgrims on this world, whatever professions they choose, but also to always tempered with the faith so that every step that they take, every walk, every moment, every decision, they have the Lord on their mind. And they're reaching out to other people. So, you know, it's for the personal growth, but also collectively for the community and to share the good news of our Lord. And Catholic schools are just beautiful. I mean, there are even children that go to Catholic schools that are non-Catholic. And they become so enthralled in the faith that they're evangelized and then become Catholic. So it's just, it's a beautiful, beautiful mission of the church.
Yeah, and I want to ask you this too. You know, so we're losing our kids to the culture as somewhere between high school and they get into college. You know, they seem to be converted to the culture rather than the other way around. And there's a lot of so-called Catholic colleges and universities that, well, frankly, you know, they're teaching values contrary to the faith. From an evangelization standpoint, what do you think parents should look for, you know, in a Catholic school to ensure that they're given the tools, the knowledge, and as you mentioned, the love of the faith to withstand and defend and even advance the faith?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And there's always concerns of wherever we send our children to school, but it starts in the home. The Catholic schools are there to support the mission of the family and of the parents to evangelize their children and help them grow in the faith. So there are, all of our Catholic schools I know in the Diocese of Baton Rouge are open to visits. They're open to, you know, parents coming to look at the schools, to dive into the curriculum, to ask the questions, you know. And the gift that we have in the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis is that the Catholic school teachers come through our ministry and theology courses. Whether they teach math or science or anything, I think I've talked about this before. So through those courses, they're growing in their faith too, so that their lessons are tempered with the faith pouring into the students. So there's a really good kind of like communication and balance of things. But I think, you know, it really begins with the family. You know, we ourselves hand on the faith to our children. So it's our responsibility to instill it. No, there were sometimes that my girls would come home and they wouldn't understand something. And sometimes I'd have a conversation, you know, respectfully with their teachers. And we'd come to an understanding. And namely, you know, it's just pulling out the catechism. And it's just a great way to really kind of have dialogue and conversation. But also have your children, you know, rooted in the faith at home. I mean, my daughters, for sure, the first thing they did when they came home was do their homework. But I always wanted to see their religion lessons. They knew that. I was like, what did you do in religion today? What did you do in theology today? And they're like, oh, you want to hear about science? I'm like, yeah, later. So, you know,
it's like you say, too, you like to see our faith infused in every subject. I saw like Dr. Chris Baglow's book, which I have a copy. I'm looking at that.
Yeah.
So we really need to know our faith.
Right.
Yeah, so I want to bring up, we have a few minutes left. I want to make sure we do talk about how this opportunity as teachers of the faith, as catechists, there's a convocation coming up. Talk about the annual convocation details, yes.
Yeah, so this is our 7th annual convocation celebrating catechists. And it's in tangent with the Catechetical Sunday that the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops establishes every September. This year, it's September 17th, is the actual Catechetical Sunday. But our convocation celebrating catechists is Saturday, August 25th, hosted at Sacred Heart Church here in Baton Rouge from 9 a.m. to 12. Dr. Brant Petrie is going to be with us today to give us his beautiful testimony of the Eucharist and catechism.
Wow.
Father Josh Johnson will be there to help lead us in the celebration of the Mass with other priests and deacons that will be there to be a part of the celebration. we're excited because we have registrations rolling in. It's open to everyone. Anyone and everyone is a catechist. Mainly though, parish catechetical leaders and teachers, parents, just priests, deacons, religious. We've really been promoting it within our parishes to sign up as a group.
But you can sign up as an individual.
You just need to register. Double hitter. I'm telling you, it's going to be
you,
so exciting.
You bet. Go ahead.
When does it take place?
Go ahead. So it's Saturday, August 25th.
Okay.
Saturday, August 26th.
Okay.
From 9 a.m. to 12 noon at Sacred Heart Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Yeah, doors open at 7:30. We'll have vendors there selling their goods. And we really look forward to seeing everybody and celebrating catechism.
How do they register, Dina? Where do they go?
They can go to diobr.org and look on the link under evangelization, and they'll find the registration there.
Wonderful, Dina. Wow, powerful. Good stuff. Keep teaching the faith. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. God bless you. Have a great day.
You bet.
Minutes to the top of the hour. You're almost late for work. You're not quite late yet, but you might want to pick up the pace a little bit. I'm David Dawson along with Johnny Hebert, and you are tuning your heart to the truth. On Wake Up, we have Father Michael Champagne. He's the priest of the Community of Jesus Crucified. We're going to talk about, once again, one of my favorite things, the Fête de l'Utèche, and that's a Eucharistic Bayou boat procession. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, David. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. This is one of my favorite things. I was about to say this is unique to South Louisiana. This is unique to the entire country, probably to the world. Do they do boat processions anywhere else?
Not that I know of, David. I think we're kind of the first and only at this point. We did start with the Little Friars in Houma. They do a little boat procession on Bayou Lafourche.
Yeah.
So we got that going. Hopefully we'll have some more things going. But with the Eucharist revival, we got crisscrossing the United States by foot processions and joining people. So I think we're gonna have boat processions. Eucharist processions and all kinds of means down the stretch.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. That's right. Anybody can do it on land, but we're in South Louisiana. We're unique. But look,
Walk on water.
Well, you and I are talking about this because we know what we're talking about. But you know, we have new listeners all the time. We have new viewers on our streams and such. And let's clue everybody in on exactly what this unique thing is.
Sure. Well, the Fête Dieu de Teche started back in 2015, and the Fête Dieu is the French name for like a Corpus Christi procession.
Uh-huh.
It just means literally Feast of God and de Teche of the Teche. So what happened was in 2015, we were celebrating the 250th anniversary of the arrival of the Acadians, Catholic Acadians that were persecuted for their faith in Nova Scotia, and they got their land grants and came down the Mississippi. From Port Barre coming down, and they arrived in the area of St. Martinville.
Mm-hmm.
So we were celebrating that as well as the 250th anniversary of our oldest Catholic church in the diocese, which is Martin de Tours, St. Martin de Tours.
Oh,
which
in,
was founded
in St. Martinville, yeah.
1765. So St. Martin Parish, mm-hmm. the parish, the town is all named after St. Martin de Tours. So we took those two events and we said, well, let's reenact the arrival of the Acadians who brought the priest with them, which was exemplary of their faith and the persecution. The faith was so important, they brought the Eucharist with them and the sacrament. So on the feast of August the 15th, which is the feast of the Acadians, the star in the Acadiana flag represents Maristella, which is the star of the sea, the Assumption. So what we did is we had a boat procession. We said, well, let's do a Eucharistic procession, but let's do it by boat. So we had a bell boat, incense boat, crucifix boat, Blessed Sacrament, and we carried a statue of the Blessed Mother. And then we followed with about 50 boats in tow, a flotilla down the Bayou Teche, arriving at St. Martinville. Well, we did that in 2015, and it was so powerful. Thousands showed up, and we said, well, let's do this annually. You see, this is such a powerful impetus for the faith. Renewal, as well as kind of propagating it, and the faith and culture aspect of how Southwest Louisiana is so dependent upon Christianity and the Catholic Church. So we've been doing this annually. So this will be our ninth annual Eucharistic boat procession for the Detesh. And we're doing something unique, David. What we're going to do is we've been getting a lot of requests down south, people mm-hmm. participating in it, say, hey, y'all come bless the bayou in the south.
Yeah.
So it's the 110th anniversary of the consecration of the beautiful Church of the Assumption in Franklin.
Okay.
And so this year, one time only, we're going to have a French Mass at the Church of the Assumption, on the Feast of the Assumption, on the 110th anniversary of their consecration. And we're going to come up the bayou. So we're going to come from Franklin.
Yes,
we're going to go to Baldwin, stop there for the and descend for adoration and rosary and benediction. Then we're going to go to Chittimacca Indian Reservation, which is very, very ancient and a strong presence in the diocese.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go from there to Generette, and that's a very, very strong Catholic area. And then we're going to move from Generette and arrive in New Iberia, that New Spain.
Okay.
Which is very, very strong in its Catholic roots.
Yep.
Just below Lorville, where we had another Acadiana camp. And then we're going to descend and then make a big procession across the bayou on Duperrier Street, and then go down Church Alley into the great St. Peter's Catholic Church, and then have solemn vespers and final benediction. So
goodness.
That's the process for this year.
Coming up the bayou from that's Franklin. Good. How long does this take? That's quite the journey.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to be comparable to what we do when we come down.
Okay.
When we come down, we go about 40 miles, 38 miles by water, and so this is going to be about 36, I guess.
Okay.
It's about the same distance. We're going to have one, two, three stops between Franklin and New Iberia.
Yeah.
Whereas we normally would do four.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, we're gonna. It's gonna take us all day. We have Mass at 8. 9 o'clock we process to the landing.
Yeah.
9:30 we shoot off a cannon blast and anchors away.
Wow.
And then we end up leaving at 9:30, and then with the stops, we'll arrive in New Iberia by 4:45.
Okay.
And then about 4:45. So 9:30 to 4:45 we'll be on the water.
Wow.
And then we. About 5 o'clock, we'll make our way in a big procession, hopefully about 1,000 people, and we'll cross town and end up in St. Peter's for our final vespers and blessing.
You know, it's amazing what this does, Father. I read an article in a national magazine, and it was a tourist who just happened to be touring South Louisiana and decided to go down to St. Martinville. She wanted to see the Evangeline Oak. She happened to be there on the day of the procession. She was so moved that it increased her faith life. So, and this person wasn't even Catholic. So, isn't that amazing? The ripple effect that you have, and what you guys are doing.
Definitely. I mean, you put. The Blessed Sacrament, Jesus is everything, and when we have him, you know, physically, sacramentally present, body, blood, soul, divinity, and just his presence causes powerful radiating graces. We've seen people that were Baptist became Catholic. We've had people that were just going along their merry way and they became a religious sister.
Yes.
We've had the same with priests. We've had people returning to the sacraments. We're going to have our mobile confessionals. We have three units.
Oh, beautiful. I love that.
And a trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have them at the beginning in Franklin, and then we're going to have them at Chittimacca, Baldwin, and Generette. We always hear a couple hundred confessions, at the stops.
Right.
We have teams of priests, and so we'll have that going on. We do have a plenary indulgence, so Pope Francis has granted what we call he has a seven-year renewable indulgence because it was so powerful. He's actually granted that we can anybody that participates in the Fed de Detesh in some fashion, either the opening Mass or one of the stops,
right?
Of course, praying for the Christian family vocations and going to confession.
Yeah, that's
confession
important.
20 days before or after.
Well, Father Sean Pine,
and receive communion.
Yeah, we've got to cut you off. This is August 15th.
Okay.
This is something we got to get to.
August
hey,
15th.
Father, can you got about 15 seconds. Can you give us a blessing before you go?
Definitely.
Right.
Well, I expect to see you all there with the blessed Lord. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May he let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he send you his spirit to enlighten you and to strengthen you. May he grant you peace. Et que Dieu Tout-Puissant vous bénisse, le Père et Fils et le Saint-Esprit. Ainsi soit-il. All right.
Amen.
There you have it, David.
Thank you, Father. God bless. Thank you for joining us. Looking forward to this. All right. Johnny.
Wow.
Ah,
yeah,
I know.
I mean, this is the, what, Eucharistic, you know, adoration going on all over the country. But, man, our Lord still walks on the water, as he said.
Indeed.
And he definitely is in South Louisiana and beyond, right?
Yes. Thank goodness. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All right. Well, we're going to close with a glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
And to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now. And ever shall be, without end. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on Wake Up.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.